Good evening. Welcome to the HRV Hour.
Good evening, Josh, and good evening, listeners.
Yes, thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. How are you, David?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be back in the decks and talking on the mics. I was in the studio for the last edition, the episode, but that was for International Women's Day, so I kept quiet and let Sue do her wonderful interviews with Yvonne Galise and Nina.
I bet that was difficult, Nina. Wasn't it, keeping quiet?
It was, yeah.
Sorry, I do.
Oh, no, Sue's got plenty to say.
Yes. No, it's a great show, yeah. Actually. It's so good to listen to the insights.
So somebody living with HIV and also somebody that, from the medical profession side of things that's providing medicine and care for people living with HIV. And I know Yvonne's been a consultant at the Lawson Unit here in Brighton for some time, and she's actually the chair of the British HIV Association.
Which is coming up very, very, very soon.
A spring conference, yes. Yeah, we'll talk about more of that later, I think.
Yeah, we'll drop off the info, won't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
So on today's show, I'm all right, actually, thanks for asking.
I hadn't got round to it, but yes. How are you, Josh?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I'm all right, just gearing up for nice weather and spring and all that stuff. I think it's nice when you can smell the spring in the air, can't you?
Yeah, you can get that smell of the earth sort of warming up. Well, yeah, they have been spreading muck around the fields near me, but fresh farm smells.
Yes, so if people want to get in touch with the show,
we are the HIV Hour, and our website is www.hivhour.org.uk. And we do love hearing from you. You can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk. Don't forget you're listening to us on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, and we're also available on DAB Plus Radio. We repeat on Mondays as well. You can listen to us again on the Listen Again page, which is at radioreverb.com. And we also have our podcast, which is downloaded from all over the world. Just check out our website, which I mentioned earlier, hivhour.org.uk.
Brilliant. Yeah. Mm. I mean, you know, it's so good, isn't it? And, today's going to be a bit of a housey music.
Yes,
fest.
We are. Yeah, going back to you are a DJ in your own right with music, not just talking. I know you're very talented. So house music's your favourite, I think, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I do. Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of different things. Yeah. But should we get on the show? Because we've got a lot to fit in, haven't we?
Yes, we do, indeed.
This is Blessed by Nick. I can't say this right. Fancilier. Anyway, in Black Circle, it's called Blessed.
Nick.
Yeah, I say Nick.
To his friends.
Good song, isn't it?
It was, yeah. That had me toe tappings.
Yeah, funky.
Yeah, or toes tapping.
Yes, you were topping something.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com. So, so David, we're going to go... Philip's been really busy, actually, hasn't he? He's been great.
He's been a roving reporter, hasn't he?
Yeah, so we've got an interview. Can you just let our listeners know who that is? And we'll go straight into it.
Yeah, so it's Tom and James from the YMCA in London. They're going. They're talking to Philip about the Positive Health Programme.
Fabulous. Let's have a listen.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. I'm here at the YMCA with trainers to the stars, Tom and James from Positive Health. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Positive Health.
Well, it's a programme, an exercise referral programme that's been running since 1997. And it's started small, and over the years it has built up into a programme which has had thousands come through. Up to this day, we've had at the very minimum about up between maybe 2,000 to 2,500 referrals come through the door. So as any exercise or referral program is, you know, it's focused on physical health, but over the years it's built up and it's gone from focusing on a lot of physical to mental health, and also into a massive social group as well, which has been a massive aspect in improving people's mental health and also helping fight stigma and isolation for all the people who've come through.
Yeah, it's really community-led, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, like, we've got a massive, like, community here at the moment, and we do, like, social trips. Like, the community we've got at the moment is, like, great. Like, everyone comes in, they're so happy to see each other. So, like, we're obviously closing down this centre now, but opening down in King's Cross. And it's, like, everyone that's been coming here for literally, well, since 1997, so, like, 27, 28 years, want to stay together and want to keep that community. But there's so many people that wouldn't have known what they would have done without finding this place. But we still run our social teas at the end and the beginning of every month.
And how long have you both been here?
So I've been here for 10 years, just over 10 years, and I started as an 18-year-old. I came for an apprenticeship, and then I've always worked closely with the community projects here. So there was the lady that was here before me was named Victoria, so she worked on the programme for probably over 10 years, I don't know the exact amount of years, so she helped build the programme and make it is what it is today. And then when she left, I started working as a positive health coordinator for the last 3 years. Declan got in touch with me because he knew I worked closely with it and I was always interested in doing it. And it was a great decision because I like the way I look at it, it's like a family. Like I love it so much. Like, yeah, I'm not staying at the new place, but I love this place so much and I love everyone in it. I taught a class yesterday and I was dancing with afterwards. One of the ladies came up to me and said, "Can we just play a song and dance?" I was just in there dancing with two of the ladies for about the last 5 minutes. But yeah, I've been here for about 10 years and been on the PH program for about 3 years, but I've loved every minute of it. The social aspects, because you build such community, like you see everyone and you see people grow and get fitter, stronger, and not only that, get more sociable and confident. And yeah, it's great to see. So yeah, that's me.
And how long have you been here, James? I've been here just over 6 years now. I did my level 3 personal training course here at the YMCA in 2017. And then Declan, who's both of our managers, he recruited me as a volunteer. And then I was helping out on the positive health program. So I'd come in and I'd do an hour and a half. And we'd have these supervised sessions where people come in and we supervised them and helped them with their gym programs. And then I started there. And it was just a great chance to get some experience working one-to-one and then meeting, you know, people whose approaches are different. And you know, as I started working on the program, I came into cover for Victoria, who had been working, I can't remember how many years she'd been working on the positive health program, but I believe at least maybe, was it around 15 years or maybe even more? I learned so much of. I was covering her maternity leave. And then I was working with Teresa and Becky, who were on the program at the time working. And it was so interesting because I was, it was one of my first proper jobs working in the fitness industry. And, you know, you're working with some people who come in, they're confident, they're outgoing, and then some people who are so closed off, shy, you know, they're coming into this building for the first time to attend the program. And, you know, they don't know what it's gonna be like. They don't know what I'm gonna be like. So it was, I think my favorite part is kind of getting them to relax, getting them to come out of their shell, and you know, trying to build that rapport. I think that's what I've found to be the most, give me the most satisfaction is when someone comes in, they're a bit closed, they're kind of looking at me a bit suspiciously.
And then they find out it's their safe space.
Yeah, exactly, kind of, you know, getting to show them a place where it's friendly. It's not, you know, it's not like a gym where you're going in and everyone's, you know, like all this kind of aggression or, you know, like glaring and just seem like it's not like a friendly environment. And they kind of see it. And then I think as immediately we start to show them around, I always feel like it starts to open up. And I think that's partly due to all the different community programs going on in the space and the members in general just being really just nice and open. I think because everyone here feels comfortable, it just creates such a good atmosphere with everyone, so everyone's always very welcoming. And yeah, that's kind of, I've always worked on the program in some way from that point, and it's just been lovely just to see so many people come through the door and then, like Tom says, just join the community and stay and take a membership past the referral period, take out a membership and just, you know, just become friends and just, yeah, it's just been like the nicest bit, seeing people's journeys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I came to you guys a couple of years ago and joined the program and I got a lot out of it. I came with a set goal that I wanted to increase my fitness, increase my body mass, and Tom set my program out, and it's really helped me. Like, I've stuck to it. And just that kind of connection coming in. You talked earlier about the socials that we have. Like, every Christmas, we have Christmas parties, as well as the coffee mornings and the summer picnics. What have been your highlights, Tom?
Oh, it's got to be, like, the social aspect, I find, because, like, everyone comes together, and it's kind of like, when you're doing your workouts, it's like everyone's like having such a good time, and after we all sit down and have a chat, and everyone's just so relaxed. You know, sometimes when you go into certain parties, you're a little bit, oh, on edge, or should I go over and talk to that person? Here's just like, everyone can just sit down, have a cup of tea. Like, we've got a team chat on Thursday, and it's just like, I feel so like I'm at home there. I feel like, that's why when I say it's like family, because you can just be yourself and just say whatever. Like, if you see the stuff me and James do, like singing karaoke, dancing, and the charades, like, I wouldn't do that in front of a random group of people sometimes, but where we've built the community over the years, but definitely when it comes to the social aspect and like coming together is definitely my highlights. And some of it as well is like kind of what James said as well, is like when people get referred here and they come in, a lot of people are like very shy, scared, not been to a gym before, and it's kind of really rewarding to see someone being like, oh, I love it here, and they start feeling comfortable. That's one of the most rewarding things, so just to feel like this is a safe space. And it's kind of like everyone's different, but it's just like we kind of know we can help build people into feeling a little bit more confident and enjoying their exercise, and not just that, even just coming and feeling comfortable going for a tea or a coffee. But I think that's one of the most important things, is to make sure when someone comes in here, they're having a good time, they feel safe, and
And that's it, exactly. Yeah. I mean, how vital do you think positive health has been to people?
I've got, the amount of people that's come through and stayed on, have said to us they would never have gone to another gym if they haven't been referred. So since I've been here, so like last 3 years, we're getting over like 40 people. Not everyone always comes in, but a high majority do. But so if you're saying over like 300 to 500 people a year, if you're looking at that kind of numbers, and some people don't stay on, but what they do, they build up like confidence in training, and they understand the machines, and then they go somewhere else and do the same thing. So just helping people build a healthier lifestyle, even if they stay here or don't, because we get referrals from all over London, well, and outside of London, that's how important it is. So especially now, so many people are getting referred for exercise for all certain reasons, and it's going to reduce other health problems in the future as well. So I couldn't say how big it is. Like, it's a massive factor.
But you're both obviously ambassadors for health, and you talk about mental health, and I know from my experience, I found running really helped to clear my mind. How important is it for people to stay healthy and active, as you say, to help their mental health and other things that they're going through?
No, it's absolutely vital. Because people might be coming in, perhaps they're not able to work, and they're limited what they can do in their day, and then they come to the gym, and then they might do 45 minutes and an hour, get that endorphin boost, and then it's gonna make the rest of their day so much better. And if someone is working, and perhaps they come to an evening supervised session, it's been a long day, you know, you might be feeling fatigued, but that might come more from perhaps, you know, everything going on in your head, and you actually need to let that kind of, that physical, whether it's like physical frustration or anything that you've been experiencing throughout the day, and just literally give the body, it's like giving your heart food almost, because you're getting that blood pumped around. You're gonna give get all of your nerves and your muscles working, and that's gonna send signals to your brain, and then that's gonna give you the reaction. And what I find a lot of the time is when, you know, I'm speaking to people, it's the thought of coming to the gym is the most exhausting part.
It's the hardest thing.
Exactly, getting out the door, getting into this door, and that's the bit which, you know, once people get past, then they get it, I think. Then they see it. You know, if you're coming in and you're tired and you see people moving, jumping around, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But going back even more, just like to the mental health, if you're having things like depression, you know, PTSD, anxiety, anything like that, giving your body something else to focus on for that period of time makes such a big difference. Because, you know, when you build up your fitness and you're actually taking yourself to a level where, oh, you know, this is tough, this is challenging, a lot of the time all those other thoughts in your head are dropping because you're thinking, right, I've got to maybe finish this run, or I've got to finish this set of pushing these weights. Like in that period, that is the primary focus. And after that, when it's complete, you're like, oh, I've done that. I can, you know, everything feels better. Food tastes better. Walks is more refreshing. Sleep's better. It makes such a huge difference. And then again, kind of links back to the social aspects. And that's about the thing with the Positive Health Program is, there's people who have been through not the same, but very similar stories, or maybe some which are slightly different, but yet you're able to relate to that. And then you can kind of, at your pace, build that connection. And that's when that's also going to add in just to helping improve your well-being.
And how have you found working with each other? Have you always got on?
So funny enough, when James first started, I think I went up to him and I was like, I was like, you're right, mate, how you doing? Like, I was always going up to, I was very like a chatty patty my whole life. But I remember going over when James first started, like asking him, do you want to come out for a drink, mate? You're going out on a Friday and stuff like that. I look at, when I work with James, like, especially when I've started working with him on PH, I look at him like an older brother. Because he's always helped me, like he's given me great advice, and like still like now, like I'll keep that on, but like whenever I need help on something, he's always got the answers, or he'll be like, let's think about it. Like, but yeah, I'll be honest with you, it'd be much of a harder time. Being a much harder time without James. So I was so glad and privileged that I've worked with him for this long. But I couldn't have asked for anyone better to work with, so yeah.
I wish I could say this. No, honestly, it's been, you know, it's been some of the funnest times I've ever had being at work. And I think we bounce off, well, we've got very similar interests, especially when it comes to exercise. And sometimes, you know, we're in the gym and we're training together in the morning before we start work. And I think we both got quite high energy in a way. So, you know, we can bounce ideas off each other, and we've got, you know, our friendship's built. So, you know, we don't have to agree for each other. We're not saying yes for the sake of saying yes. And we're not saying no to disagree just because, you know, we want to do my version of how we should run the program. Exactly.
Yeah.
We talk about things. We can be quite frank with each other. And, you know, we've got times where we can just be kind of silly, but that kind of sense of humor. We can just make each other laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can just break, you know, the times at work where you're kind of feeling frustrated, or you've had a bad interaction with someone, and, or you're just feeling a bit rubbish, then, you know, we've got that kind of thing in each other where we'd always, I mean, we're both aware of each other's moods. So we know when someone maybe needs a bit of space, we know when someone needs a bit of cheering up, and yeah.
And I think like the way we get on and bounce off of each other, like it reflects on how the group feels around us as well, as out of like the community, like everyone feels so relaxed because we have a laugh and a joke, like we have to tease and chat, we have a right laugh. It's like, we kind of always are. I don't think there's ever, like we're ever serious. So I think that comes across, like, well, when it comes to exercise and goals, yes.
Yeah.
But community aspects, we have a good laugh, and yeah, we always do. We're always in good spirits.
Yeah, I think that's what we found, especially when we're kind of bringing new members in. We're always, you know, trying to, you know, welcome them in, give them everything they need information-wise and how the program's going to work. But just try and get that, you know, just try and gauge their kind of maybe humour or what they're comfortable with, and just try and, you know, use that to get them to open up a bit and just, you know, make them feel welcome. And, you know, this isn't a boot camp, you know. We're here to, you know, do some exercise, what you want to do, and then, you know, enjoy it while doing it.
Yeah.
And what are you both most proud of?
The main thing I'm proud of is just like, me personally, I get like, this is one of the reasons why I'm in this industry. It's just like seeing people just improve, like certain people that's come through the program. Like of some people that come to the classes literally start off no coordination, like they can't barely move, they've got bad mobility, bad everything, and just coming to the classes for the, like, since I've been on the program for like last 3 years, and you see the way some people move and do certain weights, and you're like, oh my god, this is, I think that's the most rewarding part for me. And also people that start to come to like the social stuff, and you can see, because before I was so nervous, and then afterwards just like, oh god, you're speaking more than me now.
No, so, yeah. I agree. There's been some people who've come through and they might have not ever done an exercise class, and when they start off maybe quite a basic exercise program, and then you see them now and they're doing back-to-back classes, and then, you know, you see the change in them physically, but also, especially what Tom said, like coordination, there may be some type of maybe like problems with motor skills or something like that, where actually, you know, like, what might affect them, whether it be like motor skills or some problems with neuropathy, and then, you know, you see the change that exercise has in them, and then physically, and then they're moving around like a different person, and they've kind of had things in their mind where it's like, right, this is how I'm going to be now. I'm not able to kind of improve anything, but they don't want things to get worse, but they do actually make those improvements. They actually, you know, seeing that and then seeing people really push themselves in other classes, because we have our own specific classes for the Positive Health Program. But then there's general classes that are going on in this building, and when you see members going to those, and then, you know, I see one person, and to see him running around the sports hall floor, I'm like, I never thought you would do that when you first came. Like, and that's where it comes from, people getting the most out of it, because there's only so much I think we can do. It's only, like, especially when it comes to, you know, motivate people to exercise, you have to be ready to make that change. And when you are ready to make that change and then come and do a program like this, you can achieve so much. And getting to see people who have been ready to make that change do that, that's been the best. And like Tom says, they've kind of taken out a membership and they've been coming here for a couple of years. Seeing that and seeing them maintain where they started with us, that's definitely the thing I'm most proud of, because that's become a part of their lifestyle. And to know we've helped them do that, make that lifestyle change, and see it happen every day almost when they're coming in, as being the biggest payoff for me.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest achievements as well is like, we're the only place that does this, and then like, we've been able to keep it going and growing. So I think that's one of the like biggest achievements as well, not just for us individually, but probably as a company as well, because nowhere else does this. So yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest ones as well, and that we've been able to do it, keep it growing, and yeah, keep it successful. And as you know, our manager as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah, just there.
And as we know, the YMCA Central is closing down, but they're hoping to continue Positive Health at King's Cross. For anybody who is interested in what we've talked about and getting involved, how do they go about getting a referral at the moment?
So I'm imagining, because there is a change process, this building's closing February 7th. And there's going to be a changeover to KX in King's Cross. The program's going to continue. It might change in different formats, but in regards to getting referrals, probably the best thing to do would be to be sending the referrals or inquiries to the positivehealth.club@ymca.co.uk. Because that's going to be where...
From your GP.
Yeah, from your GP, from your clinic, from any other charity or group under the umbrella.
Yeah.
That's going to be the best thing. And then...
It most probably would be the same sort of process.
Yeah.
So we receive the referral. Once we receive the referral, we'll be in touch. It'll most probably be the 16-week it's a 12-week program, but we give 16 weeks just in case you may go on holiday, you're ill, you can't make 1 week, sort of things like that. How that works is the same way it worked here, is you'd start off on that sort of program, you'd be able to attend from 1 to 4 supervised sessions a week, depending on your fitness level, depending on your time, depending on your work. And then after you complete the program, you get put forward for like a discounted membership. All the prices after, we wouldn't know off the top of our heads, but because it's literally, we're going through the change process at the moment. So same sort of way, but just, go to your GP, get a referral win, and then from there, the instructors will be doing the work.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So I was referred by Positively UK, so but all the HIV doctors, anywhere you get your HIV care, they know of Positive Health and they know to be able to refer. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Radio
Reverb, 97.2 FM. Welcome back, yes, to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. A great thank you to Tom and James and Philip for the interview that they all did together for the YMCA Positive Health
Program. Yeah, it went a bit
funny
at the end, didn't it? Didn't finish, so apologise for that.
Pressed the wrong button, but yeah, but thank you to them. Yeah. So that's obviously based in London, but closer to home in the Brighton and Hove area, the Sussex Beacon also have a positive fitness class. So this is not based at a gymnasium or a gym. It's actually based at the Sussex Beacon itself, and that is a supervised physiotherapy group-based and individual exercise sessions, usually sort of goal orientated, where we ourselves as individuals set our own goals, like, you know, I want to be able to touch my toes in 6 weeks, or no, so simple, manageable goals, you know, achievable, realistic, and all the rest of them. But yeah, that's with physiotherapists, and also with regarding fitness, peer action is part of the Sussex Beacon now, which is peer led activities led by people living with HIV, and I go swimming with them twice a week, so I go swimming at the King Alfred Centre at 11:30 on Tuesdays and 8:30 a.m. on Thursdays, and anybody's welcome to come along to that. It's not a really competitive swimming thing, it's just a, you know, do as many lengths as you feel like it, and then there's the opportunity to network and
like
socialise and support
well.
Each other afterwards, a cup of tea or a BLT or breakfast of your choice thereafter. And they're also doing yoga that's coming up soon, so stay tuned for that one. Okay. If you're interested in getting a referral to the Positive Fitness class, contact the Sussex Beacon on 01273 694 222.
It's getting that time now, isn't it?
Yes.
It's getting summer and people
yes,
want to tone.
Yes, emerging from hibernation, aren't
yes.
they?
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, yeah. going to the gym is, you know, I've stopped going I started to go quite regularly and I've stopped.
Yeah.
So it's good to get that.
It's
momentum,
get the momentum
back into
yeah,
sunshine
yeah.
kind of helps that.
It does,
kind of thing,
doesn't it just, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, welcome back to the HIV Hour.
Mm.
A bit of international news.
You must have some international.
Yeah, so this is in C Magazine. So it's Stonewall National Museum launches new ACT UP movement against US government outreach.
That's Stonewall, the...
Overreach, not ACT,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
overreach.
Right, right. So that's Stonewall, the national... Or international organisation.
Yes, yes. yes it's,
right.
Yes, so it's a national one in America.
Oh, right. I think, yes, yeah, yeah.
So in a bold response to what is described as I apologise.
Try your other teeth.
Yeah, I'll put my other teeth in. Unconstitutional.
Unconstitutionalised?
Unconstitutional, yeah, sorry. US government actions. The Stonewall National Museum, Archives and Library has called for a nationwide revival of ACT UP activism, expanding beyond its original HIV
right.
AIDS focus to address broader threats to civil liberties.
Yeah, I don't really want to comment too much on other countries' politics, but rewriting certain websites, like removing LGBTQI from, you know, masses and masses of documents is almost like erasing our existence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not
so.
Right.
To have a national memorial organised by something that's not government led, it avoids, you know, government rewriting histories.
Yeah. So the original ACT UP AIDS, it stands for AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power
yeah,
movement,
yeah.
emerged in the 1980s as a direct action group that successfully forced government action on the AIDS epidemic through.
Mm.
God, I can't. I cannot speak today.
Right.
Well, which is not good on a radio station, no. show, is it? Provocative protests and civil
yeah.
disobedience. The
yeah.
new initiative aims to apply these tactics to current political challenges, which at the moment we know is very challenging,
it's
especially
a
over
very
the pond.
Fluid situation over there. Well, in fact, internationally, I'd say things are very fluid,
yeah,
obviously, because the PEPFAR
yeah.
budget was, you know, provided HIV care to over 25 million people across the world. And that's just been slashed. I mean, there's lots. I mean, I I don't feel qualified to comment on it because it's such a fast-moving situation.
Yeah, it moves a lot,
you know,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And the current US president has been in power less than 100 days and things are moving at whirlwind pace. So, Yeah.
I mean, we want to talk about it because there's lots of news.
We will
about
do
that.
When the dust has settled a little bit, because it has affected people and it will negatively.
But also it's a worry as well because it's so up in the air and people don't know what to think and what's going to be changed and slashed and all that. So the Stonewall National Museum Archives and Library houses millions of pages of records and materials available to the media. So if you're interested in joining the movement, encouraged to contact the museum directly at inquiry@stonewall.org.
Right.
So that's, you know, if you're interested in that.
Is that a slash or a dash?
It's a slash.
Oh. Stonewall.museum.org. Right. Yeah, got it. Thank you. We'll put a link in our podcast and show summary online.
Definitely.
Yes, we can do that.
So you've got something about now.
Other international news. Well, I suppose a Brighton-based, a UK-based charity called the National AIDS Manual, which was really at the forefront of providing information to people with HIV back in the earliest days of the epidemic. Their trustees at the beginning of the year or a few months ago said that it was unsustainable in its current form. Providing information, but I mean, to their credit, and a big thank you to the Terence Higgins Trust, they have taken on the website and archived all the past reports from the National AIDS Manual, all their documents, all their booklets about side effects and CD4 counts, and really explaining complex things to people in layman's terms. But a big part of the National AIDS Manual was also what was called AIDS Map, and so they actually reported on science and sociological issues around HIV and AIDS across the world. So they they've just started reporting again, and they have started reporting from the CROI conference 2025. That stands for the Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. So they started reporting again at the beginning of this month.
And, That's good.
Yes, it's a great source of information. So if you search just for the National AIDS Manual or AIDS Map in the browser of your choice, and they'll come up with some of the reports on there. So some of the reports from the CROI conference include things like the yearly long injectables.
That's so much news.
It shows some of the effects of the PEPFAR. Funding being reduced in some of the African countries. Talks about all sorts of different things. It's more than I can really fit in this episode. In fact, we have so much news these days. We're living in such this. We've got something that you'd like to announce, haven't you?
Yes, I do want to announce. No, we've been talking about this because we do have two shows a month, and it's an hour show, and we can't all, you know, so much news we can there fit is. In what we can. You know, it's local, it's a local show, but also we like to go worldwide.
Global outlook.
So I think we're going to do, because we're on the pod, we have our podcast, so we decided we're going to do a once a month news, HIV news podcast.
So just the news, No sort of guests.
No guests. Just
us as
relaying the news.
People living with HIV talking
that
about
month.
What's interesting us.
Yeah. And locally, nationally, and that. So that's going to start, I think we're going to start out a bit soon. Yeah, probably in April.
Yeah.
So our first one will be on that, but it won't be on the radio. It'll be through our podcast sites. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So something to keep your eye out.
Because, I mean, it's a global epidemic, HIV. It hasn't gone away, but there are advances in science and all over the place.
Yeah, but just to mention that, just one of those things you were mentioning in that thing about the yearly injectable.
Yeah,
I mean that's just amazing because it's just passed its early safety trial, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes, yeah.
So it's all these amazing things. So you've got six month one coming up, and then there's a year.
And obviously there's the search for the vaccinations as well. You know,
there's so much stuff.
Not only do we have treatment, we have PrEP, PEP treatment, and possibly vaccines in the near future. I know we've been talking about vaccines for the last 40 years, but they're understanding so much more every day.
Shall we have a quick song, and then we'll come back with local news? Then,
yes, we've got some great local tracks.
Quite a bit of stuff in there.
News.
This is my request. It's Michael Gray, Over You. You know, it's nice to have a little time.
Dancey time. Yeah. Well, I like old music from all different types. I like classical. We don't play much classical on the show, do we? But I've slipped in some easy listening into the schedule.
Yeah, I like all kinds of music.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. We've got something coming up soon, which is Radio Reverb is 18 years young.
Really? Well, we're grown up now then.
We're getting there.
We're 18. We get the keys to the door and all that.
We're getting there, I think, yeah.
People still do that? Yeah, 18th cakes with key on it?
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Big Radio Reverb cake.
Yeah.
So good. It's
happy birthday, Radio Reverb.
Yeah, 18 years.
18 years.
God, amazing.
Wow.
So, I mean, we've been doing the show. Well, it's our 10th.
It is. Yeah. 10th birthday coming up soon.
Well, so it's a double celebration.
Yeah.
So anyway, usually we do a thing called a Reverbathon, which is a live 2-day event.
It is.
And it's coming up.
I remember last year. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, we started the ball rolling last year, didn't we?
We started on the Sunday at 11, I think it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's back. It's April the 12th to the 13th. And so on Saturday, April the 12th, it's live at the Brighton Upmarket. It's where
the
studio is.
This very studio, yeah.
Yes. Yep. And then on Sunday, it's live at the Hope and Ruin Pub, which is on Queen's Park, Queen's Road.
And we're doing the Sunday, aren't we? We're at the Hope and Ruin.
Yeah, we're going to be at the Hope and Ruin. It's going to be live. Mm-hmm. I think we're doing 2 p.m., but there's lots of shows. A lot of our favourite presenters and that will be doing live shows throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
Please, I know, you know, this is for a good cause because we are a non-profit organisation, so we do rely on sponsorship and donations.
We do, yeah. So this is the radio station, it's not the show.
Yeah, it's the station.
But no, we are a part of the station. I'm very proud to be a part of the station. But and as people that regularly listen to the station, there are no adverts.
Yes.
So the only way we get money is through asking for it.
Yeah, so if you're interested, please pop down to see us and say hello and show your support. Or if you want to donate, which is we'll be so grateful if you can do that, go to our website, www.radioreverb.com, and donate as much as you can. And we would absolutely appreciate that, and thank you so much if you can do that. But come and join us on that 12th and 13th of April, and that would be very good.
Yeah, lovely. Fantastic.
Yes. Good. We're doing some local news now, aren't we, David?
Yes, we are. So the Lawson unit, which is the HIV outpatient clinic for Brighton and Hove, have just about to launch their new spring newsletter. But one of the articles in that newsletter is that they have a new website.
Oh, brilliant.
They do. So So if you direct your browser to brightonsexualhealth.com, the website has a new look and lots of new features following a complete rebuild. So sometimes, you know, websites, you add little bits in here and there, but it's a complete rebuild. It's more accessible. It's easier to navigate. So the newsletter is even in a form that screen readers can use, so that if you are blind or visually impaired, you can read all the information and it can be read out to you by a screen reader. So over the years, the old website had grown organically with information sections needed to be sort of change when they met the needs of patients. So this rebuild is much better. Clinic has worked with an agency called Mixed, which specialises in building NHS websites. And the website is for brightonsexualhealth.com, but obviously the Lawson unit is a part of that. So it's the other services, like contraception services and STI treatments and things like that. So, but the new HIV care section of the website has been brought together to all the information about the different HIV services, because there are services that people maybe not know and aware of, like the Orange Clinic, like the Sunflower Clinic, a memory, that's what it's called. He said, trying to remember. Well, I'll mention maybe that in a moment. There's a section that's linked to a prominent place on the main homepage, and you can see information about appointments, treatments, specialist clinics, a new Meet the HIV care team, so you can see what your doctors and nurses should look like.
That's
when
so
they,
important, I think.
Haven't been working long shifts.
So
they have a look at that, brightonhealth.com. In fact, it's they have up to 3,000 people a week visiting the website.
That's
up from previous years.
I mean, the place is amazing now.
Only 300 people a week are ordering home test kits through the site.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
300 a week.
300 a week. It's incredible, isn't it?
That's amazing.
You know, a lot of this stuff goes on behind the scenes, and you just don't realise what's going on. You know, we just go as patients, and we don't need to know everything that's going on. I mean, back in the day, I did, you know, because there wasn't many of us, but yeah. In fact, did you know that the Lawson Unit has a psychology service?
Yes, I did know
you
that.
You did? Ah, oh, not did. Everybody knows that. Yes. But there's an article about that in the newsletter, so I won't read it out to you now. I encourage you to go and read it on brightonsexualhealth.com.
So if people are interested in, like, say, you said the Orange Clinic, does it tell you what that's about on the website?
It does on the website. I haven't got the website up in front of me.
No, but just go to the website and you'll see all that if you're interested. Yeah. And they do a lot of trials as well, don't they?
They do. So the newsletter actually does have a page of information about the clinical trials that the research departments are actually doing. Mm. The research department as well. But there's also a separate website which has been created by the Brighton and Sussex Medical School and with participation from service users of the Sussex Beacon. And that is memoryhiv.org. And that's a website about living better with HIV, with memory and thinking and things like that. Yeah.
It's so important. So important. And it puts your mind at rest, because I've always kind of thought,
we're all getting older, all of us, all the time, aren't we? But sometimes we don't know, am I getting things just because I've got a lot on my mind, or am I...
Is there something to be worried about?
We need to, you know, just have a little look at. It's very reassuring, and so that is the Orange Clinic, Sunflower Clinic. As Sue mentioned in the last episode, is for women. That's cisgender and trans women.
Very important.
So that's Sunflower Clinic.
Brilliant. Check that out.
Yeah.
So we're back in London, actually. Positive East, which is dedicated to improving the lives of people living with HIV in East London, is to create 3 quilt panels comprised of thousands of selfies from the international community to help celebrate the powerful message of you equals you.
Brilliant.
And that means undetectable equals untransmittable.
Yeah.
The individual selfies provided from around the world will be printed on fabrics, then handed stitched together, celebrating each individual and their contribution to the U equals U movement.
Right.
Overlaid will be the 3 but simple and powerful letters, U equals U.
Oh, marvellous.
So from far away, these letters can be visibly seen.
Yeah.
And, however, as you approach the quilt panels, the letters will dissolve, unfolding a diverse mosaic of individuals from the community.
Wow, do you know what? That's the intention or the idea we had behind More to Me Equals HIV back in the day, when before COVID hit. We wanted lots of portraits that, you know, when you looked from a distance, it was one picture, and when you looked close, you just saw people.
Remind our listeners what More to Me is.
So More to Me Than HIV was a portrait exhibition, just really showing black and white photography, photographed by Annika Stewart. Actually, there is a website. If you go to morethanhiv.org.uk, you can see all the portraits and you can hear the participants talking about why the HIV is just a small part of their journey in life now. It's not the major part.
Yeah,
it's all to help break down stigma and show that, you know, we look like anybody else.
Absolutely. Mm. We are.
Yeah.
We will. So back onto the Positive East quilt. Mm. They say they will craft the U equals U with the same love and care as the UK AIDS Memorial Quilt.
Mm, lovely.
Which is that, you can see that. Is that in, that's London?
It does tour. The Terence Higgins Trust have got their own Terence Higgins Memorial Quilt as well, with the panels. Amazing work.
And they say to be an ongoing testament and powerful reminder for future generations. Mm. The quilt in many ways will allow us to reimagine the AIDS quilt in the historic era of U equals U.
Yes, yeah, because U equals U has really changed. It's a game changer, without doubt. I mean, it must be an anniversary for U equals U. I don't know if it's...
Yeah.
It must be getting nearly 10 years, maybe 7 or 8 years.
It's very striking.
It was a difficult thing to explain to people initially, but I think people realise now that if you have less virus in your system, you know, detectable, then you're less likely to pass it on to anybody else. And it was proven through studying thousands of people having lots and lots of sex. I can say that on there, can't I? I can say that on there. tens of thousands of sex acts, and not one pass it on to their negative partner.
But I think it's really important now because of who is getting infected now with HIV, which is more heterosexual.
Yes, yes.
It's really important to have that message.
It's the testing. It's test.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something we are going to be talking about a lot in the show over the next episode. Well, for as long as we broadcast, really, is get tested, get on treatment,
yes,
and get on with things.
I'll just finish this. This project has been kindly supported by the Beaver Laura Waters Community Award.
Oh, yes.
And the charity is honored to work with the artist, I hope I get this right, Sierra Ambrosia. Sorry if I got that wrong.
What a lovely name, Ambrosia. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry if I got that wrong. Who will lead on the project. So if you want to submit a photo, a selfie to this amazing project, go to the positiveeast.org.uk website.
Great.
I'm sure you'll be able to find follow.
Positive East do some great work, don't they? Yeah.
Anything else for you?
That's it for the moment.
So it's all me, is it? It's all you. I've got a couple more things.
Go on then.
So we said farewell to this week and to Maisie Trollett, David Raven.
So David Raven, or Maisie Trollett, as she was known as a drag queen.
She was 91.
In fact, she was the UK's oldest performing drag queen.
So I think there'll be a lot of tributes for her.
Yeah. So I noticed there was a thing in the local paper, the Evening Argus, actually the other day, a little 2-page dedication to the work that she did, because I think she was from London, or David was from London. It's difficult to know which pronouns to use.
His real name was David Raven.
Yeah. So that he had a double act called the Trollettes with, I think it was Jimmy and Maisie. Jimmy Trollett. Maisie Trollett. I have seen them perform together, but when David moved down to Brighton, they performed less together, but he carried on. They both carried on performing as their own names.
But I think we're going to, for each show, we're going to try to get somebody on to talk about his work with, he did a lot of work for AIDS charities.
He did, In fact, he was a patron of the Sussex Beacon ever since its start, up to his.
So that's going to be a future show. Yeah, we're going to try to sort something out. We'll get somebody on who knew him and talk about that, what he did. One of our people has been on, interviewers, Nathaniel J. Hall.
Yes, from It's a Sin.
Yes, It's a Sin. He's following his sellout debut in Manchester in 2023, the actor, writer and HIV activist. He's going to come down to Brighton for the Brighton Fringe for his...
Oh, great.
..to play Toxic, which is his...
Right, so he actually wrote it himself as well, didn't he?
Yeah, so set in the hedonistic world of Manchester's underground queer rave scene, Toxic tells the story of two people who, in their own words, meet, fall in love and mess it up.
Right.
Born into Thatcher's Brighton. Born into Thatcher's Britain of race riots and rampant homophobia and growing up in the shadow of AIDS and Section 28. The pair form a trauma bond so tight they might just survive it all. Right. Sometimes survival means knowing when to leave.
Right, He's an all-round superstar, isn't he, Nathaniel? I mean, the great performance in It's a Sin. And, well, he did his podcasts on Channel 4, didn't he, for about bug chasers, which I found shocking.
Amazing. Just good to get that.
He's quite the activist.
So he's coming down for the Brighton Fringe in May. We'll try to get him on.
That'd
the
be lovely
show
to
and talk about it in the future. That's it, really. We've got our next show is somebody's coming on, isn't he? We've got a great guest.
Yes, we do. Yep.
Let our listeners know.
So it'll be the director of Lunch Positive. That's Gary Pargeter. I think he's going to be coming on to talk about his story, his life journey. Because when we usually speak to him, we're speaking to him as a professional, and he's telling us about the wonderful, amazing things that Lunch Positive do. So it'd be nice to actually hear a more personal side to Gary.
Absolutely, it'd be good to have him on. So
I did the creative writing course, the World's Words for Wellbeing, with Simon Madrell and Gary, and
it'd just be good to have him on the show and tell his story.
Yeah.
And we've come to the end. I'm sorry. I'm doing that thing, David. Cutting you off, David.
He's trying to take off. I am. Flapping his wings.
Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you, everybody. And you can see why we need an extra show. There's just so much to fit in.
It's trying to get in there, and you can hear as I'm flopping my words. Anyway, see you next time.
Thank you, listeners. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.
Yeah, this is Dark Paradise by Parov, Stella, and Lana Del Rey.
Hey.
Bye. Bye. Night.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.